Ambassador Nigel Baker, welcome back again to Vatican Radio.
Thanks very much indeed.
February the 6th, the anniversary of King George VI's death, really start off these celebrations for the Queen's Jubilee this year, don't they?
That's right. I mean, it's a solemn start because the accession of a monarch means, in most cases, the passing of his or her predecessor. So it is a solemn start to a year of great celebration. But it's very rare that that a monarch celebrates 60 years on the throne. Only Queen Victoria, of all the other British monarchs, has been able to say they've done such a thing. And so it will be, you know, a great year. There's a lot of doom and gloom in Europe about 2012. Well, I think we've got a reason for a little bit of sunshine over the next year.
If we look back in history, that date, February the 6th, the young Princess Elizabeth wasn't, in fact, in England where her father died. She was on a tour in Kenya, wasn't she, in Africa?
That's right. She'd actually just begun, or shortly before, had begun a major world tour at the request of the king, who was very keen for the then empire to meet their future monarch. And for the Princess Elizabeth to get to understand the countries of which she would one day be head of state. But you know, she really only a few weeks or even less into that tour, she got the news while she was in Kenya at the Treetops Lodge in Kenya that her father had died. You can imagine the shock. She couldn't have been there. You know, she wasn't there for her father's last hours, and he was still a relatively young man. And of course, she returned immediately. As I read once, you know, she'd been seen off by her father. She returned to the country as queen to be met by a bareheaded Winston Churchill in black in mourning. A very different return from her departure just a short while before.
Her coronation didn't actually take place until the following year, June of the following year, did it?
That's right. It wasn't until June 1953. She was queen from the very moment of her accession. And there is the famous phrase, "The king is dead, long live the king," or in this case, "long live the queen," which encapsulates that moment of change. But for all sorts of reasons, I mean, a coronation is a major event. It needed preparation, and the decision was to put that off until the following year.
Now, this passing of George VI, if you like, the 60th anniversary of his death, will be marked not only in London, but also here in Rome, won't it?
That's right. At All Saints Anglican Church, just round the corner from the Spanish Steps, there will be essentially two services that day. There will be a more solemn service at midday, a said requiem for the life of King George VI and marking his passing. Then later on in the same day, again encapsulating that moment of life after death, there will be a service, a Te Deum service, at 6 o'clock that evening to celebrate the accession of Queen Elizabeth II. Of course, she is still the head of the Church of England, as well as queen of a number of countries around the world, and so it's quite appropriate that such an event should take place in the Anglican Church here in Rome.
As you say, the Jubilee is marking not only her role as Queen of England and head of the now 54 independent Commonwealth nations, also head of the Church of England. Does this make it, do you think, in some way harder for the Catholic community to really be participating in these celebrations, or is that just not an issue now in 2012?
My strong belief is it really is not an issue at all. Of course, you know, when you look back in history, there were moments when the Catholic community in Britain were discriminated against, without doubt. The hierarchy of bishops in England and Scotland was only reinstated in the 19th century. But we've moved a long way from that moment. And as the Queen is always the first to point out, she is the monarch, not just of Anglican subjects, but of Muslim, of Catholic, of Hindu, of Buddhist, of atheists. And one of her great strengths over 60 years has been this point of unity, of national pride, and of representation of everything for which the country stands for during those 60 years. So my strong view is it's a day of great celebration for Catholics, for Anglicans, and for all.
There will be great celebrations taking place in London over the first weekend of June, won't there? Can you tell us a little bit about what's in store?
That's right. I mean, we have several months of activities. The Queen, of course, will be travelling a lot, mainly within the United Kingdom. Other members of the royal family will be travelling overseas, particularly. But the focus is going to be that first weekend in June, 2nd to the 5th of June, a special extra public holiday has been declared for the week following that weekend. And the central moment of the celebration is going to be a pageant along the River Thames, something that we haven't seen for, I'm told, you know, as long as 350 years. There could be well over 1,000 different craft on the River Thames following a Queen's barge, a special boat prepared for the occasion, which will process along the Thames. The Thames, of course, is redolent of British history and also royal history, from places like Greenwich, places like Whitehall, Westminster. The Thames encapsulates British history, so I think it's a very nice touch, actually, to have make the Thames and the Queen progressing on the Thames the centre of the celebrations. There will be fireworks, there will be garden parties, there will be street parties right around the country. There will be many, many different things, but that river pageant will be at the core of the celebration.
As you said earlier, this is a time of uncertainty and time of crisis here in Europe. There will, I imagine, inevitably be critics who say, at a time like this, why are we spending so much money on these celebrations?
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's always a fair point. One always has to ask, especially when talking about public money, taxpayers' money, at a difficult economic time, ask a question about how money is spent. The Queen has been very clear. You know, her instructions have been, you know, let's not be excessive, let's not overdo the sort of sense of luxury. But I think it's very important in all countries that we mark in a proper way critical and important symbolic moments in our history. As I said, only Queen Victoria has celebrated 60 years on the throne. Not to mark it correctly would be quite wrong. And I think that is very much the sense of the British people. I mean, you'll remember that there were similar criticisms around the royal wedding. Well, those criticisms disappeared on the day itself when a million people were out there celebrating a really wonderful event. And I think you know, the British people have a fairly clear sense of proportion about what is right and what is too much. And the Queen herself embodies that sense of proportion, I think, and she has a very good sense of what is right and what would be too much.
You mentioned Queen Victoria, of course, the only other monarch to celebrate this Diamond Jubilee. There will inevitably be many comparisons made between their two reigns. Do you think this is justified? Do you think this is a good comparison?
I think it's a fair comparison because of the longevity of the reign. Both reigns have seen really extraordinary changes in Britain and in the world. Queen Victoria came to the throne relatively shortly after the Napoleonic Wars and died at the beginning of the 20th century, a country that sort of was transformed by the Industrial Revolution, by, in a sense, the first great wave of globalisation. Queen Elizabeth II came to the throne when the British Empire still was largely intact. She was queen of 7 countries when she came to the throne. She's actually now queen of 15 countries because of the independence process, where countries have become independent from the British Empire but have retained the Queen as their head of state. So the Empire has changed into the Commonwealth of Nations. Britain has changed enormously, as has the world. Who in 1952 would have thought that, you know, China would be the world's second, to be the world's first economy? So I think that is a point of fair comparison. The other, I think, for both is that sense of duty and service that both Queen Victoria and Queen Elizabeth II have brought to their role. Neither had positions of power as such. They were constitutional monarchs. But they had a great sense of the importance of the institution and the stability that the institutional monarchy can bring to a democratic system. And that complete dedication and service to their country and to the people that they've served, I think, is a very positive point of comparison between the two great queens.
Just a final question. The Queen has, of course, been here to Italy, to the Vatican on a number of occasions. Any chance in the coming few years, perhaps, of another royal visit to Rome?
Well, in terms of the Queen, there's nothing immediately in the pipeline, but it would be wonderful for her to travel here again. Of course, she had the opportunity to meet Pope Benedict XVI when he travelled to Britain in 2010, so a short while ago. As you can imagine, the Queen is not getting any younger, and she has to be quite careful, as with the Pope, they happen to be the same age, about her travel commitments, and she needs to pace herself a little bit. But I'd be delighted to see her visiting Rome and making another foray to the Holy See. It would particularly delighted if it was during the time that I was ambassador.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.